Are you achieving your goals at work and in your relationships and personal life? Personal accountability is the key. Mark Samuel is author of the book, Making Yourself Indispensable, The Power of Personal Accountability. As president of Impact Corporation, Mark helps individuals and teams around the world overcome obstacles to reach new levels of fulfillment, excellence, and success. Visit www.marksamuel.com to learn about his accountability coaching services and products, or call 323-969-0088. MarkSamuel.com, success you can count on. 323-969-0088. Well, welcome back to Circles of Change. And, of course, we love being global in our footprint. And, of course, someone that helps us do that constantly is Mark Samuel from Impact Corporation. In fact, bonsoir à Paris, Mark. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm doing great, Zara. And I'd say bonsoir, except that I don't say it very well.
So. Well, you can practice. That's right. Well, you're in the City of Lights. What a beautiful place to be. Mark, of course, is with Impact Corporation. It's the company that he founded and has continued to work on accountability principles, both for individuals and organizations, how we can count on ourselves as well as learn to count on others in the process. Mark's most current book, of course, that's been getting quite a lot of international acclaim is Making Yourself Indispensable, The Power of Personal Accountability, and you can learn more about him at MarkSamuel.com. So enough of the commercial at the onset. Mark, our topic, you said you wanted to touch in this whole idea of the stop and start dilemma that plays out when we want to be more accountable. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, being accountable is actually a process. It's not just one step or one action or even one choice. Sometimes, as you know from the loop, you've got to recognize the problem, you've got to take ownership, you've got to forgive any mistakes and let those go so that you can self-assess and ask questions that help you to move on. And the challenge for many of us is that while we're in process, we might get challenged at any one of those steps.
You bet.
So, for instance, a lot of people get challenged once they have recognized the problem and take ownership. They get challenged in the forgiving and the letting go, and they get caught in the, you know, berating ourselves or evaluating ourselves for making the mistake, and it keeps us from moving on from that standpoint. Sometimes people get stuck further into the loop where, okay, I've done the forgiveness. I'm now asking questions about what to do different, but I can't make a decision. I don't know which step is the right one, which is the wrong one. I'm afraid of making a mistake. And then all of a sudden we're back in action and not learning because we are cycling around all of the different options, getting overwhelmed.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, I'd even go to a step further in that regard, Mark, is that how many times, for the best of intentions, we go through in a positive, accountable way, spot the concern, rectify it, but until we go into that real self-examining learning mode, which really you'd say really calls for a different behavior set, it's all too quick to get pulled off to the next tactical firefight such that we found out we didn't really fix the problem and we're back revisiting it again and again and again.
Well, that's exactly right. And that is, again, one more way that we could do the stop, you know, start and stop behavior is A, either getting distracted or becoming afraid and taking the easy way out, you know, which would be an action to get movement, but not a different action based on learning.
Yeah. And so and you'd also probably be quick to tell us that, oh, by the way, the start and stop dilemma is the natural human condition. So don't beat yourself up if you do stop or start or backslide. But it's all about recovering and keeping the momentum to go to the next phase.
That's right. And really the focus needs to be on learning and doing things differently. So even if your pattern is to stall or if your pattern is to get distracted, then that would be the area to do differently. So it's not just the problem you're dealing with, but it's the way you're approaching the problem that may be the do differently.
And so can you give us perhaps a client example, whether it be an individual you've worked with or a team that you've helped them kind of get unwoven from that pattern that maybe is just a matter of a comfort zone that's turned into a rut.
Yeah, I was just working with the team this past week in Amsterdam, and that was exactly their issue. So they're trying to do things differently as a group, and they're really putting in a lot of effort, but the way they're going about it is the same way they've gone about it up to this point. So they're practicing, but it's almost like practicing a mistake.
Mistake, yeah.
They're just making it a hard struggle in what they're trying to accomplish. And you know, it was really a matter of saying, no, let's take a timeout. Let's look at how are you going about this? Like, how are you approaching this project of yours? And how might we do it differently that could get a different result rather than just putting in more and more effort to continue doing the project in the way that you're doing it?
And what did they discover that perhaps was the less than effective practices that they were doing, Mark?
Well, one of the things they discovered right off the bat was that in their hurry to get results, they really weren't thinking it through. So they weren't looking at all the different areas that were being affected by their project. They were just doing their project. And so it doesn't matter how much effort you put into it, you're always going to be negatively impacted by the other departments that you weren't thinking of.
Yep.
In that case. But they were in such a hurry, you see. So in the hurry, and let's get results, they got very silo-oriented instead of thinking about the impact on others.
Which, of course, in your accountability principles and certainly your new accountability wheel focus, boy, being in service to others at the end of the day is going to keep the positive momentum going.
Yes, and that whole we-centered approach.
We-centered, yeah, instead of I-centered.
Right, but again, here's the challenge in the workplace. We're always in a hurry.
Yeah, aren't
we? We're being pressured to get more done faster, don't waste time. And so it's not hard to see that happening as a natural outcome.
And in fact, I think we spoke with someone last week, Bill Welter, and he said, you know, the power of reflection is beyond any that people know how to recognize many times. But being reflective doesn't necessarily feel like work, or it shouldn't,
right.
You know, it gets, you know, poo-pooed or discouraged, or you must be, you know, taking a break, not, quote, working, whereas really reflection is a process in and of itself towards that accountability element.
Right. And you can be, reflective. Sometimes people think of reflective as just sitting there, not doing anything, and allowing your mind to wander. That's not necessarily reflective, or it's not the only way to be reflective. Another way to be reflective would just simply be, let's take this situation and slow ourselves down and just ask questions of how we can do this differently to approach it more creatively, more innovatively, and to include others.
So the instance of your client here just this past week of getting them to slow the train down in some ways, but I'm sure the end upshot is you're going to position them to speed up eventually. What other practices did they then see in that process of a different inquiry you had them go through?
Well, the other thing that became very aware to them was that they sort of got into a group think. Everybody was supporting it, and nobody was questioning. And it's one of the major dilemmas of groups is not playing out that devil's advocate role that allows you to challenge the way you're going about something. And it's one of those things we've tested. If you ask a group of people, you know, you've got three choices, A, B, or C, and everybody individually, A is the right, and you make sense. No one will ever question it. They'll just go around and say, oh, I got A, well,
right.
I got A,
right.
Therefore A must be right.
Yeah, exactly.
And no one is even considering, what about B? What about C? Are there any attributes to those? And that groupthink is very dangerous.
And I think part of that, though, stems from the fact that many times as groups get to know one another and have a lot of successes together or have ridden through challenges, they think they can walk in inside of each other's minds, and so that you get that natural convergence. And in some ways, you're driving out variation. You don't want to allow anything that doesn't feel the same amongst others. I think also if we look at how people choose to influence, there's a preponderance of folks that like to initiate, suggest, and then convince and persuade one another. So in other words, it has this civility about it, right? It's a more friendly task of chatting and engaging. But yet if you bring somebody in who might have a tendency to be more challenge and confront, that's really what you need to have happen, like you say. So you get that advocate of a different way of thinking. But sometimes that challenge and confront person can be immediately ostracized as you know, being obstreperous and disrupting the harmony we thought we otherwise had.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the ways to tell whether it is disruptive or not is the disruptive viewpoint, if you will, just a way to go back to the old way, or is it disruptive in a way that's going to present a new approach?
That's right. That's right. We're speaking with Mark Samuel from Impact Corporation. His book is Making Yourself Indispensable, The Power of Personal Accountability. Mark, the idea of stopping and starting dilemma in the different steps to being held accountable, you know, it's one thing to stop, but usually the toughest part is now to get restarted. I mean, to kind of get your momentum back. Are there things that you walk teams or individuals you coach through so they can get back on the track, shall we say?
Yeah, the most important thing for getting back on track is reminding yourself of your intention or your desired outcome. It's like once you get off track or lose momentum, it's almost discouraging, hopeless. It loses energy.
Yeah.
And the only way to get you back, not the only way, but one of the best ways to get the energy back is remind yourself of your purpose, remind yourself of your intention, and then look at where you are in that process to re-stimulate yourself, and then get the energy moving back by just saying, okay, what do we need to do next? What's the next step in our own process?
You know, I know you've had many an example here of, you know, and I'm the same way, that when you're business takes a slight dip, or you're not as engaged with as many clients as you'd like to be or have comfortably been in the past, it's all too easy to start feeling like you're standing on ice. And so how we get regrounded with that confidence and that focus and that openness to, as I know Kameen has told you many times, is to wonder what's going to show up next, and before you know it, it does.
Well, exactly, and that's, you know, I just faced that again even today, you know, thinking about my own business, because, as you know, I've been so busy doing a lot of international travel as part of my client work that I haven't had the opportunity to do as much sales reach out. And if I look at my calendar, all of a sudden I've got a very open month of May, and it's just around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's easy to get a little bit nervous, discouraged, and all of that. And, you know, we spent most of the day just talking back about my purpose, where I see the vision, you know, what's the potential for getting this work out to more people. And, you know, I ended the day actually more re-energized than I began the day.
Well, and in fact, if I recall, Mark, you had this very same comment when we were speaking in December, because you were concerned about that January month not being booked up. And before you know it, it's right back at it. So I think part of this comment, this capture, this title, the start and stop dilemma of being accountable, is there could be some natural cycles of this that we go through. And so how do we kind of maybe stay a bit ahead of some of those cycles so we don't lose our own grip of our own direction? But in other times, I suspect, I think many times teams find this, is when they come to an impasse and a stop, that actually, if they do it right, they can lift themselves up to a whole bigger purpose that they probably should have been doing from the get-go.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And I think it's very important to also mention that if you get too action accountability-oriented and driven, you can burn yourself out. One of the participants that was supposed to be in the session in Amsterdam actually couldn't even attend, literally because he burned himself out accountability.
What do you mean by that?
Well, he just kept looking at how can I improve, how can I improve, what do I need to learn, and made it such an aggressive, struggling process for himself. At first, it was a lot of curiosity, but then there became very almost judgmental drive towards, I got to get this, I got to learn this, I got to be better at this, you know, at both as a coach, as a consultant, as a parent, as a husband. I mean, he just really went after it in a way that looks like he was being accountable, but he wasn't taking care of himself, and he literally had an emotional breakdown.
Wow. And so
and to me, it's very important that we take breaks. We even talked about it and said that, you know, if you're too accountable, it's important to go back into the victim mode to give your body a rest.
But maybe we won't call it victim. Maybe we'll call it the, you know, the spa visit, right? The replenishment time.
But
I understand what you're saying.
What
you know,
it's going to do.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's a breakdown.
Yeah.
And I actually worked with a person who studied nervous systems, and they said that it's a very natural flow to go back and forth from accountable to victim just from a nervous, just so you don't jam up your nervous system. So obviously if you do it more purposefully, it doesn't have to be a victim approach, but it is somewhat ignoring problems because you're going to go on vacation, or it is, you just can't do it all the time.
All the time, yeah. And whether that be the principles of accountability, as you share with us, or people who are, you know, routine aerobic exercisers, that, boy, you need to take a break and shift to some other form of exercise that isn't of highest impact or perhaps is strengthening versus cardio. I mean, any good coach, from an athletic standpoint, and you would remind us, too, is that you need to hone your separate skills so that the sum total of them can add up bigger than the sum of just the components.
Right, exactly. And just as you suggested, if you were to weightlift every day, your body would break down.
Yeah,
that's
why
you have, you know, a workout day, a rest day, a workout day, a rest day. That's exactly what we need to be doing around accountability. Be accountable, but have enough sense to also take a rest and do that reflective process and do that, you know, the gathering of your thoughts and relook at things so that you're more refreshed.
Mark, the this context of the start and stop, the client I was working with this past week, with great joy of handing out 35 copies of your book, by the way. So while you're off lollygagging in Paris, I'm making sure we put some money back in the banking account, my friend. But we were speaking about the whole issue of safety within their factories, and quite often how people get hurt because they've done something that's dangerous, dumb, or different. You know, I mean, the 3 D's, we'll call it. And that, you know, we should know better than to, you know, take a ladder and lean it against the wall, as opposed to all the way prop it open or whatever the case may be. And the point that the plant manager, who just grabbed onto your model right away to use it to drive these points home, he says, somewhere between, you know, self-analysis and learning, we lose the stick to push it to the next level of changing our process or changing our behavior. And I heard your voice like inside of me saying, but if you go back, just like you did in this segment, and remember the desired outcome, that I think that gives you some sense of staying on track.
Yeah, I think the problem with losing our sense of desired outcome is then it just becomes a task.
Yeah, right, there you go.
The task it just isn't meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
I just got to get it done. And that's when we rush it, take shortcuts. You know, I'll tell you, that's actually true for musicians learning to play their instrument. You know, at some point, if you lose sight of how good you want to be, then all of a sudden you start to slide and, you know, you take shortcuts and you lose your form, you lose your basics. And that makes everything harder.
Yeah, that's right. Well, very good. The stop and start dilemma of being accountable anchors back to making sure we stay very focused and aware and refreshed on that desired outcome. Mark, very safe trip ongoing of your travels in Europe. We'll look forward to welcoming you when you're back here in the States.
Thanks so much, Sarah.
All right, take care. Have a nice evening.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays 10 to noon right here on 104.1 The Truth for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.